सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So we offer our praise to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurupishe Namah. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatara, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, that is pure love of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangha Panga Astra Pashudam Yajnahi Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Isu Medasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Now, offering prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, especially Sri Jiva Goswami, whose mercy we seek to really comprehend, to understand the six sandarbhas. Nana sastra vicharne kanipunau षड धर्म संस्थापक लोकानाम हितकारिणौ त्रिभुवने मान्यौ शरण्याकरौ राधा कृष्ण पदारविन्दना आनन्देन मत्तालिपौ वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुकौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ।
Translation: I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendent loving service of Sri Radha and Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री कृष्ण गोविंद नाद पुरुषोत्तम भजामि।
I just turn on the camera here. again, please accept humble obeisances, all to Srila Prabhupada. So I take it, since we are meeting after almost 2 weeks because of the Janmashtami celebrations, I take it everyone had must have had a very blissful Janmashtami celebrations. So with that, we'll start here now. So we have been hearing for quite some time, for the last several texts, what Jiva Goswami refers to as Anuchedas, about Krishna's transcendental body. Krishna's body is eternal and transcendental. So towards that, we heard some very, very important verses, actually, important text that Srila Jiva Goswami quotes, and one of the verses that I really admire, like very much, we will repeat again, because that really summarizes this particular concept that Krishna's body is transcendental, that there is no difference between Krishna and his body. It's one and the same, and is eternal. And here is that verse. This is the text 51, actually. Rupam yat edat avabodha. Rupam yat etat avabodha rasodayan. Rasodayan. Shashvat nivrutta tamasaha. Sat anugrahayam. Adav guhitam avatar shateka bijam. Yam nabhi padma bhavanat. Yam nabhi padma bhavanat. Aham avirasam. So here, what Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the experience of Lord Brahma at the dawn of creation, and Lord Brahma was at that time not even his desire was to create, but he didn't quite know how, so he performed intense austerities, tapaha, to please the Lord. And that's what he did, and Lord was very pleased, actually. And Lord actually initiated him into this Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So at that time, Brahmaji offers prayers, actually. He is talking about this particular verse. This particular verse which I am referring is actually spoken right at that time, you know. So this is from 3rd canto, 9th chapter, text 2 and 3, the two verses that really emphasizes Lord's transcendental body. So he says, Rupam yat etad. So this particular form, that's what he's saying, this particular sarupam, etad, so this is emphasizing this particular form that he's seeing, the Lord has actually given him his form, actually shown him that form. At that point, he was offering prayers to Lord Narayana, because he was born from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he is offering prayers to Lord Narayana. You know? So he's saying is that particular form. But actually, it turns out, Srila Prabhupada points out the commentaries of the previous acharyas, that actually is Lord Krishna himself, that is the Vrindavan Krishna, the son of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya, was the one who actually initiated Brahma in this Chatushloki Bhagavatam verse, actually. So it seems like in the beginning he was offering prayers to Lord Narayana, but then when Krishna himself showed, so he is offering this prayers. So that's where he's saying that this particular form, that is Vrindavan Krishna, the son of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya, so that form, he says, yet etad, that particular form, avabodha rasa, avabodha, our bodha means that is the knowledge. Here is actually the supreme consciousness, you know? And that is the sweetness, beauty and sweetness of that particular form. And rasa udayam, udayam means rising. Just like when there is a full moon night, the oceans swirl actually, you know. So you see this, you know, a rise of this ocean water in the beach, you know, that's what you see there. So it is like that, udayan, udayan means rising, this mellow, this rasa, sweet, of the sweetness, Krishna's sweets and beauty actually. And that is, so he is showing that Krishna's body is transcendental in a very novel way. He's showing that, a very interesting way. But that, that mellow of seeing the Krishna's supreme the beauty and supremely transcendental form, that is saying that that saswat, that is eternal, and nirvruta tamasa, nirvruta means that is retiring. So that that knowledge of Krishna's beautiful form, that really abolishes the tamoguna, the mode of ignorance. Because what happens when particular one of the three modes are eliminated, then clearly because the three modes must act in equilibrium, when that is removed, then it's become transcendental. So one would ask that how about when we say mode of goodness, pure mode of goodness, but here when we talk about pure mode of goodness, how to distinguish when the mode of material goodness, because material goodness is like a mundane piety, you know, but a pure mode of goodness is actually nothing but the love of Krishna actually, you know. So that is what he's talking about. So when that is there, Shuddha Sattva Guna, then there cannot be the three modes of material nature actually. So that is why he is transcendental. So that is what he says. And that he says, by his mercy, sat anugrahaya. So that is, the mercy is showing for his particular devotees actually, his devotees actually. No? And that's what he says, adav, guhitam avatar shataika bijam. So that original form of the Lord is Swarupam, that is the very seed form. So that form that he's seeing in front of him, that this medium-sized Krishna's body, a boy form, young boy form, young adolescent form that he's seeing, that is the one which is actually the seed form from all other avatars originate actually. So he is the fountainhead of all the avatars, all the incarnation. So he's called Avatari. So that is like a seed of a tree has all the information program necessary to produce the entire tree. So that is what Krishna's original form, and that is transcendental. And said, even I myself, yan nabi padma bhavan bhavanat, yan nabi bhavan, in that form I myself was produced, that you produced me from your Nabi Kamala, the lotus navel of your Nabi, this the stem of lotus stem erupted, and in that flower, that's where that my bhavana, that is my home, you know, the Agrasam, that's where I was seated, that's what I was produced. So that verse very beautifully actually produces, he says, to demonstrate that Lord's body is transcendental. Then he actually continues this verse further, says, Natam tam param, natam param param yad bhavataha swarupam. And then, anandam anandamatram avikalpam avidhavarchaha. Pashyami vishya sujam ekam avishyam atman bhutendri atmaka madhastha upashitosmi. So what he's saying, that I do not pursue. So he's emphasizing the particular transcendental form, the Lord that he is himself is actually beholding. So that said, that I do not see any other form I do not perceive your essence, which is the bliss alone. So he is basically Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, his original form, his natural form. He is saying that, in fact, he is describing by three adjectives actually. So first adjective that he uses, he said that is Ananda Matram, that is nothing but pure bliss, and Avikalpam, that means that is, that is undifferentiated. So he is basically talking about Krishna's form, the Brahman form, you know. And there he says, the third adjective he uses, Avindavarchaha, that is unobstructed effulgence, it's self-luminous form actually. So is anything from this form, any different from this form? So what he's saying, that my Lord, your form, your Brahman form that is described in the Vedas, that is non-different from you, Bhagavan, you know. So there is no difference actually. And therefore I take shelter of this particular form, which is unique. So that's what he's saying. And that is Pashyami, that I'm beholding right now. And Vishwam Shujam, and that's the one form you created this material universe, and yet at the same time you are aloof by saying that Vishwa Shujam Avishwam. Avishwam means that you do not you create the universe and yet completely remains aloof from it. You know? And Bhutendri, so that is what we said, Vishwa Atman. So there's another important point he's pointing out here. Just note that particular important point. Bhutendriya Atmaka Madhastha Upashitosmi. Bhutendriya, so he said that you are the very self, being the self of all, self and essence of all the material elements and the senses. So even though you are the one who create this universe, all the material elements, material world, and yet you remain completely transcendental. There is not a tinge of material elements within you. So that's very interesting actually. No?
Prabhuji, your mic again got out. Sorry.
Further, I'm very sorry. So I was just trying to point out these two verses, Brahmaji, that I just recited. Through these two verses, he's pointing out that Krishna's body is transcendental. And then he's pointing out the second verse, that it is actually, he is the original form from which all other incarnations, all other expansions follow. So he is the bijam, he is the seed form actually, is avatari. And then he, even though he possesses this material world, he is the cause of for this material world and all the material elements, yet he remains completely aloof, avishram. Vishwa Shujam, so he creates the universe, a material universe, and yet he remains aloof from this material element. So that is again showing that he is transcendental. So he is at all content with the material modes of nature. Actually. So then I was trying to point out the other verse that he is showing. Another important fact that we are learning, that Jiva Goswami is pointing out, that here Srila Subhadeva Goswami is telling Parishad Maharaj, Krishnam enam avehi tum atmanam akhil atmanam jagat dhitayat so api atra deha abhati mayaya. So Krishna enam, so this particular form of Krishna that he is describing so far, because Parishad Maharaj was really perplexed that this form that he was showing, that, you know, so he's saying that this particular form, please know, Evehi means know, you know, Please understand, you know, Tum Atmanam Akhilatmanam. So he is the soul. He is the very self of all ourselves. So now this particular verse was spoken. I think it's very interesting to point out. It's significant to point out that this verse was spoken Surya Goswami is describing when Brahma himself put into bewilderment. When Brahma saw that this Krishna, along with his coward boyfriends, and his cows, the baby cows, when Krishna was taking his lunch with his friends, he was taking food from the mouth of his coward friends. So he was perplexed, Brahma, that how can this little boy be the supreme personality Godhead? You know, so he wanted to test that, and he stole all the coward boys. And when Krishna was taking care of his cows, he took away all his coward boys and the cows and hid them in a cow in a cave. You know, so when Krishna came back, he wanted to see what he's going to do now. You know, so Krishna understood, of course, what Brahmaji was up to. So Krishna at that time he expanded himself into exact duplicates of all those coward boys and these calves, an exact original form. But he himself was expanding in that, you know. And when Brahmaji went away, when he came back, for him it was just a moment, I think. But for the earthly time, a whole year passed. So during that year, Sudeva Goswami is describing what happened. So when every evening, when Krishna returned to the village, Vrindavan, the coward boys and the baby cows, they were greeted by their mothers, you know, amazingly. They showed a lot more love than even their own children. The coward boys, their mother, they felt so much love for that, you know. And the same way, even the baby cows, they were, so much, the cows, their mothers, mother cows, there's so much enormous affection developed, you know. So this was very amazing, and this was even perplexed, even Lord Balarama. Balarama was actually at that time, he did not accompany Krishna at the time in the forest actually. That particular day, he stayed actually. So he was perplexed. Now he ought to know, of course, you know. So he clearly, then he found out that Krishna himself had multiplied himself in so many forms. So the point here was that the generally and this was a Parikshit Maharaj perplexment, you know, that how is it that generally you love your own children, you don't have the same kind of affection, and here we are talking much more affection, you know, for someone else's, because Krishna was the son of Nanda Baba, Yashoda Maiya. So all the coward mothers, the boys' mothers, including the animals, the cows, how could they have so much love for Krishna, who is someone else? But the point here, Sukadeva Goswami is pointing up to Parikshit Maharaj, that because he is the very soul of all our souls, you know, all ourselves, and because we generally love our own body much more than anyone's, and by bodily, because we are in bodily conception of life, we tend to see our children also the extension of ourselves actually. So we have so much love and affection for our own children, our own body, than anyone else. But because this, the coward the boys' mothers, and then Krishna himself was there in the form of their sons, and the cows, they represent the very self. So Krishna was the very self, Atma of all Atma, you know. That's what I'm saying. Atman Akhila Atmanam. So that's very important actually to understand that. and how, why Krishna does that. Jagadvitayasu api atra, he said that for the purpose, for the benefit of the entire material world, for all of us, atra, right here, Krishna said, he took the form of deha, eva bhati means as if, the literal meaning means as if, so as if he is different from his body, but it's not, reality is not, he's the same. He only appeared to take this form for us, maya, for to show by his, through his maya. Maya means here is actually by his mercy for his devotees. Now that's the point here. So these were the very important verses which here now we are going to see with that background. These lesson 13 and 14 that we are discussing today is basically here Jiva Goswami is now concluding this particular section on this Krishna's transcendental body and eternality. So these are the concluding verses, that concluding text, anuchedas, that we are going to cover today, hopefully if Krishna allows, you know. So we'll do both these lessons today, and they are pretty much simple, very simple, pretty much straightforward. So hopefully we could finish quite early also, you know. So first lesson 13, these are the texts 56, 57 and 58. So the theme here, the lesson theme here, Bhagavan's forms are the highest realization, you know. And there are three here. Text 56, these are the lesson themes. That Krishna's transcendental body is the ultimate of all that is to be attained. So that ought to be the goal actually. Text 57, Krishna is Shabda Brahman. What means here that Krishna's the Brahman form, Krishna's bodily form, is exactly the Brahman form being described in the Vedas. So that is the sound vibration, that is a Vedic sound vibration, that's called Shabda, and that is the best evidence. So that's why Krishna's body is also called Shabda Brahman. And text 58, Krishna's body is the complete form of Bhagavan, as we saw in the very first theme, the absolute truth, Bhagavan, is actually we see same absolute truth, Advayam, that is the one without second. So that absolute truth manifests actually in three aspects. They are not different, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, yet it is because of the worshippers own perception, that's the reason three aspects are there, but they are non-different, and that's why we see all these texts which we saw. Brahman is undifferentiated, that means without potencies, and yet later on we heard that Brahman is also has potency, but actually because Brahman is non-different from Bhagavan, that is the reason why Jiva Goswami actually explains that, you know. So now let us go through each of this text. Next PowerPoint, please. So text 56, that the Krishna's transcendental body is the ultimate of all that is to be attained. This is because Krishna's body is the absolute reality. You know, the love that the older gopis and cows felt toward the expansion of Krishna that I just explained to you, posing as their offspring, kept increasing in intensity. Every day it kept on increasing, and that is the very nature of Krishna. You know, it keeps on increasing all the time, that love for Krishna. You know? Even Balarama was astonished at this. So upon hearing this, Parikshit Maharaj wondered as to how one's own self is dear to one and all. How is it possible? Because we love our own self, and by extension our children, because that's a bodily our own bodily expansion, you know. So that's why we love our own children than someone else's child. Here Krishna was someone else's child, that is Nanda Baba's child and Yashoda Maiya's child, how did the coward gopis, the elderly gopis, love Krishna more than their own children? The same with when animals, the cows, they love Krishna so much than their own babies, baby cows, you know. So that is what Parikshit Maharaj astonishment, you know. So that's why Shukadeva Goswami advises Parikshit Maharaj that you should understand that Krishna is the very self of all ourselves, actually, you know. So that is the point. To experience the form of Lord, in order to really understand and really appreciate and to relish the sweetness and beauty of Krishna's body, is exclusively through knowing this particular fact, and that arises of this mercy. There's raso udayan, you know. Udayan means arising, you know. So that's what Jiva Goswami is showing this particular verse. Krishnam enam evehi tam atmanam akhil atmanam jagaddhitaya so api atra deha iva bhati mayaya. Krishna enam, so this particular form Krishna that we are talking about, Shukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, that you should know, evehi, understand, you know, from atmanam, so your very self is actually, that means Krishna is the akhil atmanam, he is the soul of all souls in the entire world. So that is what we ought to understand. And we have to understand that particular fact, then only we are going to be able to relish Krishna's beauty and form, you know, sweetness. And because, why? Because that is how, for the benefit of the world, jagaddhitaya, you know, so api, because of that, atra, right here, Krishna appeared in this bodily form, dehi. Deha, deha means body. Otherwise, Krishna is not different from his body, you know. So it appears that his body is different from him, but in reality, is not. Eva bhati, as if it is different, but it's not. And that is because of my Maya. My here Maya is not Maha Maya, but by my Yoga Maya. And even further, here Jiva Goswami explains that is actually his Maya here, Yoga Maya. Is a particular mercy, you know. So that kind of reminds me here. Sharat Prabhu had sent me an email. Yeah, a very, very interesting question here, actually, you know. Very, very wonderful question. So I thought of answering him, and rather giving him separately, writing him separately, I thought I would share it in open class so all of you also can get the benefit of it, you know. So, Sharat Prabhu asked me a question, very, very interesting question. He said that how do we get to really appreciate and relish the nectar of Krishna's beauty and sweetness, and that is, as this verse says, by my Maya, by my mercy, by Krishna's mercy only can happen that, you know. So, how to, sorry, mercy comes by bhakti. So Sharat Prabhu is saying, at what stage of my, our bhakti can we expect, can we hope that we would get to appreciate Krishna's beauty and sweetness, you know, at what stage of bhakti? So so that shows actually Sharat Prabhu's very advancement, you know, no ordinary souls can develop that kind of intense desire, loyalty that he has. He wants to really relish that particular rasa, and he's the lalayata. He's really intense eagerness to enjoy that. So he says that when would I be able to hope to realize that, at what stage of my bhakti, and assuming that, you know, he means that we are in this at the sadhana bhakti level, actually, you know, bhakti by practice. So when would that happen? So my answer to him is actually Krishna is already showing him the mercy. You know, this only by mercy we can get on the bhakti level, as we learn from Nectar of Devotion, you know. Without Krishna bhakti, even the Brahman realization, the very first theme that we learn, Brahman, the realization of Brahman and Bhagavan can happen only by mercy of the Lord, actually. Without that, it cannot happen. Brahman realization comes by sadhana bhakti, but Bhagavan realization occurs only when that advances to the prema bhakti level, you know. So we cannot see the Lord's form face to face unless we are completely free from all material consciousness, completely in Krishna consciousness. But to even to get in the sadhana bhakti level, you know, without his bhakti, we cannot get that level. So, Sharad Prabhu, you already have the Krishna's mercy, already you have that. Because the eagerness that you have for that question that you are showing, intense eagerness to know when I would be able to relish this rasa of Krishna's beauty and sweetness, you already have that intense desire. And that is because of Krishna's mercy, you already have that, you know. And that is going to be keep on increasing every day, more and more to hear all that we have been hearing right now, more and more it happens, more and more Krishna is going to reveal himself to us, you know. Only by Krishna's maya, yeah, we are going to relish this nectar. So that is a very important point here, you know, in this concluding verses. Here the translation, you should know this Krishna to be the self of all selves. And that's a very, very important point that we have to realize that actually. That he is the very self of all selves. We are part and parcel of him, you know. For the benefit of this world, he appeared like an embodied being. Actually, Krishna is not different from his body. But he appeared in this bodily form because of his mercy on us, so it looks like that Krishna appeared in body, but in reality he is not different from his body, you know. So by the influence of his yoga maya, so here it is, by his mercy. And this is the verse 10.14.55. Next PowerPoint, really. So that is what we need to, so that is what Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj. In fact, Jiva Goswami explains, Sukadeva Goswami is actually showing his own, bestowing his own mercy to Parikshit Maharaj, you know. And Parikshit Maharaj also very, very fortunate soul. Remember, when he was still in the womb of his mother, Uttara, Asatthama's Brahmastra, atomic weapon destroyed Parikshit Maharaj, and Krishna revived him and entered, Krishna actually entered the womb of Uttara and saved, revived Parikshit Maharaj. So that Parikshit Maharaj actually saw that form while he was still in the womb. So Parikshit Maharaj was no ordinary soul actually, you know. Okay, so here now in text 57, Jiva Goswami is showing that Krishna is Shabda Brahman, you know. So here, as you see in my PowerPoint, Jiva Goswami now explaining the Brahman described in the Vedic literature, that is called Vedic sound vibration, that's why it's called Shabda. And he's describing Brahman, that's why Shabda Brahman. So Krishna is the Brahman. So that is also the divine body of Bhagavan. Yeah. To support his conclusion, here he is quoting Maitreya Muni's response to Vidur Mahatma's inquiry, you know, about Kardam Muni and Devoti. Now this is in the very, very beginning of creation, when Brahma asked Prajapati Kardama to produce the progeny. So as Vedic Garbhadhan Samskara, and that's very, very important. Prabhupada actually emphasizes that point here, that a devotee does not begin his grihastha life, especially intention of producing a progeny, without first serving the Lord, offering his prayers and performing austerities. That's called one of the samskaras, it's called Garbhadhana Samskara, you know. So here, Kardama Muni also, before entering grihastha to produce the progeny, he underwent severe austerities and penance. And the Lord was very pleased by Kardam Muni, you know, by Kardam Muni's austerities. And he actually appeared face to face to Kardam Muni, and this was in the Sakhi Yoga, in a Krita Yoga. So that is where so Vidurbhata was actually asking about the progeny of the first Manu, Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu's had three daughters and two sons. So one of the daughter here is Devahuti, and they was married to Kardam Muni. You know, so here, so he is asking about Kardam Muni and Devahuti to describe that. You know, so that is where Maitreya Muni is speaking this particular verse. Tavat prasanna Bhagavan Pushkaraksha Krite Yuge Darshayam as tam kshattah shabdam brahma tatad vakuhu. So he said, tavat prasanna, when seeing Kardam Muni's intense austerities to please the Lord, so Lord was very, very pleased with it. Tavat prasanna, seeing that Bhagavan, here Pushkaraksha, Pushkar means lotus, Aksha means eyes. So his Krishna's eyes are considered like compared to the lotus, you know. Lotus so Pushkaraksha Kriti Yoga. Kriti Yoga means that is Sati Yoga. Dashayam Asam Dashayam Asa Tam Kshattaha Shabdam Gamma Tathad Vapuhu. So that is where he's saying this. So here the translation, being pleased, the lotus eyed Lord showed himself to him. Dashayam Asa. So he showed face to face to him, you know, to Kardam Muni. In Sakhi Yuga. So, and that particular form is called Brahman form, known through Vedic sound. Exactly the form that Kardam Muni actually had heard, had read in the Vedas, what the Lord's Brahman form looked like. That means Brahman means Lord's bodily effulgence, is the self-luminosity of the Lord actually. You know? And that is again non-different from Bhagavan. You know? So that is why Lord showed in that, you know. So the same absolute truth appears differently to different worshippers, you know. And Brahman is not different from the body of Bhagavan, you know. So as we saw in the very first theme, the absolute truth is manifest in three aspects: Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Although they are not different, they are the same, one and the same of the Lord, but they appeared in three different aspects because of the worshippers' particular perception, you know, their level, their qualification necessary, as we saw in the first theme. First, the manifestation, and then how that particular qualification one attains, you know. So, Vapu means the body, and Brahma Tathat, that is why how it is showing that is a next PowerPoint. So this now text, we can, like I told you, that this verse is very, very straightforward. These are concluding verses basically, you know. Jiva Goswami is concluding this particular section on Krishna's transcendental body, and that is all we must understand that. And there is everything there to attain. Nothing else is there to attain, you know. So Krishna's body is the complete form of Bhagavan. So to demonstrate that the Lord's body is real and free from the six types of transformation, because it's transcendental, only the material body undergoes six kinds of transformation. It takes birth, subsists for some time, produces byproducts, and then it dwindles, and then ultimately dies. You know, so that kind of transformation does not take place in the Lord. Lord is eternal because he has transcendental body, and there is no material change, no material elements. So that is what Jiva Goswami is pointing out here. So Brahma accepts this particular form as complete in itself. Ekastvam Atma Purusha Purana सत्यम एकस त्वम आत्मा पुरुष पुराण सत्य स्वयं ज्योतिर अनंत आद्य नित्य अक्षरो अजस्र सुखो नित्य अक्षरो अजस्र सुखो निरंजन पूर्ण उद्वयो मुक्त उपाधितो अमृत. सो हियर इज सेइंग यू आर द वन सेल्फ द प्राइमेवल सुप्रीम पर्सन. सो यू आर द ओरिजिनल द ओल्डेस्ट लिविंग बीइंग एक्चुअली एंड येट यू आर ऑलवेज न्यू. That is the self-contradiction right here. But that is what the definition of the Lord actually, you know. You are the very self, primal supreme person, Adhyaha, you know, Ananta, the absolute truth, the self-effulgent, Jyotir, self-effulgent, endless, Ananta, and beginningless, you know, Puranaha, you know. You are eternal. And imperishable, from Atma Purusha Puran Swamita Ananda Atya, Nitya Akshara. Akshara means that is imperishable, you know. Nitya, eternal. Ajasya Sukha. Ajasya Sukha means is the happiness, the bliss, unending, unobstructed bliss actually, you know. That is Ajasya Sukha. Because material happiness, so we see we all aspire to love someone. And to be loved by someone, you know, we all aspire that. But that prema is really not in material world. Material world, the prema is actually lust, no? Only in the spiritual world, so only when we direct that desire for Krishna, then we get that particular, you know, happiness, that particular pure love. Otherwise, you cannot get it in this material world, you know. So that, that he saying, Krishna, you are this eternal and imperishable, full of unobstructed joy, full unending, everlasting bliss, pure, perfect, and complete, being non-dual, one without a second, and free from all limiting agents, upadhis, you know. Because as we saw in earlier lessons, we have this upadhis, because our soul, even though our soul by constitution is transcendental, but because of being in this material body, the material body imposes self-limitation on us, you know, so that we all have this limiting agent or upadhis. With Krishna, there is no difference between body and himself, so that is why he is free of this such upadhis, and he is immortal, eternal. So that is the point, that is exactly what Krishna's body is, you know. So that's what he's pointing out. Next one, please. So that is the complete form of Bhagavan, because there is no difference between this Brahman and Bhagavan. So here, Jiva Goswami quoting another verse that you heard from Skanda Purana, you know. Avignaya param deha ananda atmanam avyayam arupayanti janimata panchabhuta atmakam jadam. Not knowing the Lord's form as blissful and imperishable, the unwise consider his body. So here, this is the question we already saw before also actually, you know, that how come Krishna might pose that question when Brahma was describing all his characteristics of Brahma's Lord Swarupa. So Krishna might ask a question to Brahma. If that is so, then how come some people in this material world do not accept that, accept me as such, you know? Why don't they? So then at that, to reply, in anticipation of that question, Brahma says that because some of those people are actually subscribing subscribing those philosophies that denies the existence of the Lord's, so it's atheism. They deny that particular form, that particular philosophy. That when so it's asata sangha. So when we are associating with those kind of elements, those kind of people, then we also don't develop that kind of awareness of Krishna's swarupam, you know. So even the Lord's body, Lord Vishnu's body, is imperishable and impalpable, though it cannot be pierced or dried, and is free from the material modes. He appears as if pierced, wounded, or down. Now here, what is clearly pointing out that in Mahabharata war, just for the pleasure of Krishna's devotee, this Bhishmadeva is a very peculiar kind of loving bhakti for him. It is actually in a Veera Rasa, you know, where Krishna is enjoying that rasa. So Bhishmadeva is acting as an opponent of Krishna, fighting against him in the Mahabharata war on the side of the Kauravas. So Krishna is seated as a charioteer in the Arjuna's chariot, and Bhishmadeva is throwing the arrows, even the pointed aimed at Arjuna, but some of the arrows he aimed at Krishna, and they actually did hit Krishna's body. And not only that, he actually, Krishna is even bled from that wounds actually, you know. So one would ask that how come the Krishna's body is transcendental, how could it bleed just like an ordinary human beings, you know. So that's what here in that verse is saying, that it appears as if he is pierced, wounded, or bound. He seems as if to play among the gods, or appears as if a common man, you know, with a medium-sized body. So that's Krishna's, you know, that particular lila, you know, for the benefit of his devotees. So he upholds such appearance just to bewilder the atheist. But living liberated are never thus bewildered. So devotees are never become liberated. They will become bewildered. So that is what Skanda Purana is saying, that somebody's microphone is on actually, no? Yes. Please turn off your microphones, please, kindly. So Bhagavan's body is not limited by time and space. Advaita Brahma. Avyayam. I don't know why so much disturbance is there. So there is text 13, you know. So now we go to lesson 14, lesson 13 we completed. It's very, like I said, very simple and straightforward, you know. So text 14, this is the text 59-61. Bhagavan's paraphernalia, that means Bhagavan's paraphernalia is not only his body, but even his clothes, weapons, ornaments, and so on like that. Just as Krishna, his body is actually part of his swarupa, his original form. Same way, Krishna being absolute, paraphernalia also out swarupa, you know. So text 59 and 60, his attire, his dress, the way he's dressed, ornaments and weapons, they are also a part of his swarupa, transcendental, eternal, you know. Is part non-different from Krishna actually. And text 61, that is about his dhamma, his Vaikuntha, his abode, is also part of his swarupa. Now this one is a transition verse. When we begin the, hopefully next week, following week, when we go to lesson 15, there's a new theme that we'll be starting, and that is all about Bhagavan's abode, Vaikuntha Dhamma. So we are here, this is in the context of that his Dhamma, his abode, is also his Swarupa, but we are going to hear as an introductory part that Jiva Goswami is going to expand in the next theme of Krishna's Dhamma, you know, Vaikuntha Dhamma, that it is non-different from him. And actually one who attains Vaikuntha, once attained, one never falls down from Vaikuntha. There is so much controversy about that, that we'll be discussing that point. But before we proceed to lesson 15, what we are going to do, if Krishna permits, next week hopefully, this first 14 lesson that we just completed, today, we are going to, I plan to review it, review the highlights before we begin the next session, just like we did for the first module also, the Tattva Sandarbha. The same way here, we are going to do here for Bhagavad Sandarbha also. We will review the highlights of entire 14 lessons. So it's a really challenge, basically. Now, 14 lessons, there are some 400 plus text. I need to condense into just less than 20, to complete in just one lesson, but we'll see. By Krishna's mercy, nothing is impossible. So here, text 59-60, this is attire, that means his clothes is on, and also like his ornaments and weapons and so on, like all paraphernalia. Tam adbhutam balakam ambuja ikshanam, tad adbhutam balakam ambuja ikshanam, chaturbhujam shankha gadayudham, shrivatsa lakshanam galashyobhi kaustubham, Pitambaram Sandra Payoda Saubhagam Maharaya Vaiduriya Kirita Kundalatisha Vaishakta Sahastra Kundalam Sahastra Kuntalam Udvam Kanchet Angada Kankana Adi Virochamanam Vasudeva Ekshata. So translation, Vasudeva looked, so this is when Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. Krishna appeared first as this Vishnu form, the four-arm Vishnu form, Narayana form, just to let Vasudevji and Devaki Mataji to really know, because what they prayed in their previous lifetimes, they desired to have the Lord appear as their son, So in previous two lifetimes, Krishna did appear. So now the third time Krishna is appearing as their son, just to show them. They desired Lord Vishnu to appear as their son. That's why Lord appeared. Even a newborn baby, he appeared in this four-arm form with all the not only the bodily form of four-arm form, but even if each of the four arms can be Shankar, Chakra, Gada, the disc and so on like that, and Padma, and all the ornaments, and that's what he's describing, is Shri Vatsa, that's typical of Lord Vishnu. On the Lord's chest, there is a sign of Lakshmi Devi, Galashovi, around his neck is this Kaustubha gem, and he's wearing Pitambara, the yellow garment, very, very self-effulgent garment, and so on like that. So that's typical Vishnu form, So Vasudevji looked at this beautiful form, extraordinary for lotus eye. So can you imagine that a newborn baby appearing with all the things that, ornaments, weapons and so on like that, in the four-arm form, it's very, very astonishing. So clearly Vasudevji and Devaki Mataji, they were really very, very astonished, actually. So Vasudevji looks at this extraordinary lotus-eyed little baby, the body of little baby, the baby Krishna, who had four arms in which he held the conch, discus, Sudarshan Chakra, ace, Kada, and lotus, Padma. And his chest was decorated with the mark of Lakshmi, Srivatsa, It's a curly white hair on Krishna's chest. That's Lord Vishnu's chest. And the brilliant Kaustubha gem around his neck. And he was dressed in yellow garment, self-effulgent. And his body had the beautiful hue of a dense cloud, Meghavarnam, and was decorated brilliant belt, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments. Everything was very, very described in a great minute details actually in our Shastra, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right from top to bottom, Krishna is described exactly in you know, such minute details, you know. His helmet and earrings, his earrings are actually in the shape of this little crocodile shape, in a makara, you know. And his helmet sparkled with innumerable multicolored vaidurya gems. Krishna's form is really very majestic, Vishnu's form is very majestic, unlike Krishna's Vrindavan form, you know. So these vaidurya gems, and his hair was scattered in thousands of strands, his curly hair, you know. So this is 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text 9 and 10, you know. So this clearly establishes that fact. Next PowerPoint. So here, Jiva Goswami is commenting on that, this verse, this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is to substantiate these conclusions. Jiva Goswami begins to establish that even the Lord's ornaments and dresses are part of his Swarupa. It's part of, so they are not different from him. When you talk about Krishna or Lord Vishnu, his ornaments, his dress, everything is exactly part. You cannot differentiate, you cannot separate his ornaments, his dress from him, you know. Unlike ourselves, you know, we go home and change dresses, completely different. But this is not so in case of the Lord actually. It's part of himself. So the four-armed form Lord Vishnu appeared to his parents in Kamsa's prison cell. So later, by the request of Devaki herself, this four-armed form disappeared. So when he disappeared, because Devaki was worried about Kamsa, that he might appear, you know. So she requested the Lord to please transform yourself as just like ordinary human newborn baby actually, you know. So Krishna obliged that. So when Krishna disappeared, the Lord Vishnu disappeared, he disappeared not only himself, but along with him all the ornaments, everything, the weapons and all this that he was carrying, they also disappeared, you know. Before he reappeared as this ordinary human baby, you know, normal child. So just as Bhagavan appeared and disappeared, so did his ornaments and dress. So again, that's Jiva Goswami is, by quoting this verse, is pointing out that they are non-different from the Lord himself, you know. You cannot separate his ornaments and dress from the Lord body himself. This is because they all belong to his Swarupa, his original form. So this is text 60 now. Bhagavan's weapons and also belongs to his Swarupa. Here, Jiva Goswami is quoting this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, is about this Vishwarupa. So Vishwarupa is the son of Trashta, the particular demigod. At that time, what happened? Indra had offended his guru, Brahaspati. Indra was puffed up in his assembly, full of opulence and so on like that. So when his spiritual master Brahaspati appeared in that assembly, he did not get up and offered his asana as normally he is expected to do that, you know, because of his spiritual master. And he did not do because he was so much puffed up because of his power and opulence and majesty. So at that time Brahaspati did not say anything, but he simply walked away. And of course, as a result, Indra lost all his opulence and everything, you know. He was completely bereft of all the opulence and everything, his kingdom and so on like that, you know. So to regain that, he is performing this particular sacrifice and so on like that. And of course, his guru was not there, Brahaspati. So at that time, he was recommended by Lord Brahma to appoint this Trashta's son, Vishwarupa, whose Trashta was married to a girl who was a daughter of a demon actually, you know. And Shri Krishna sought honor for that. So, and to prepare Indra against the demons, he's impending war against Vritrasura. So he is preparing this Kavacha, Narayan Kavacha mantra, you know. So that is what he's preparing. So that time this verse is spoken actually, you know. So Vishwaka said to Indra, as part of the description of Narayana Kavacha prayers, you know. Now I'm going to read the translation directly. Just as the complete reality, the original personality of Godhead, is experienced as free from distinction of this established and exclusive identity with him. Similarly, through his maya, he himself employs energies from the forms of ornaments, weapons and insignia, all the paraphernalias. No? On the truth of these statements, may the omniscient and omnipresent Bhagavan, Hari, always protects us everywhere. So, in the prayers, Narayana Kavacha, these things comes in. No? All his paraphernalia, weapons and everything. And one who is protected by Narayana Kavacha, the particular shield, Narayana shield, then he remains unconquerable. So they are preparing Indra for that. By all the potencies and manifestation that are identical to the essential being. So basically they are saying that this Narayana, these weapons of Bhagavan also belong to his Swarupa. The same that we saw in previous verse. So it's being reinforced here by Jiva Goswami by quoting that verse. Okay, so this is another word. Atmanam asya jagato nirlepam aguna ama vibharti kaustubha mani swarupam Bhagavan Harihi. Sri Hari upholds in the shape of a Kaustubha gem the living beings of this world who are beyond material contract, free from the modes of material nature and pure. So this is from Vishnu Purana, you know. So there is no difference between Bhagavan and his body, nor is there any difference between him and his dress, ornaments or weapons. But they are one and the same, Krishna being absolute, your Vishnu being absolute. They are all conscious. So see, there is another interesting point here that we think that ornaments are kind of non-living material things. No, not in case of Lord, you know. They are also actually personified, you know. They are conscious, the conscious living beings are their ornaments, weapons, they are all living beings actually. In the spiritual world, they appear in different forms. So you see, everything that we see in material world, it's described in the second canto of Brahmaji describes. When Brahmaji was shown the glimpse of Vaikuntha, he saw that everything that we hear every year is actually there. So nothing that can occur here which is not there in Vaikuntha Loka, Lord's abode. But there, the difference is that they are all personified, they are all conscious beings. They appear in that particular form like trees, birds, animals, even insects, all these things are there. They are liberated beings, but they appear in form for the pleasure of the Lord actually. So they are all conscious, even the weapons, they are personified, you know, and transcendental just like the Lord. Sometimes they appear with him, sometimes independently, just like his other associates. So like manifest or unmanifest, you know, all belongs to his internal potency. They are part of his internal potency, Swarupa Shakti. Okay. So now, the remaining few minutes that we have, I want to finish it by in 10 minutes or so. I want to discuss this text 61. As I told you, this is a transition verse actually. It could have been easily put into the next theme, which is about Lord's abode. But here, the reason I put it in this particular theme is that here it's shown that even Lord's abode of Vaikuntha Dhama is also part of his Swarupa. In that context we are putting. But here Jiva Goswami is already pointing out in this verse, in this text, and he's studying what he's going to talk about. So it's like a preview of what is yet to come in the next theme of this course. So this verse, I'm just straightly showing the translation. Swarloka, so here Jivarasi making a distinction between the material world composed of these three worlds, upper planetary system, middle planetary system, lower planetary system, versus lower dhamma, the transcendental abode, Vaikuntha dhamma. How that's different from this three material worlds. No? Swarloka, that's the heavenly planets, is the residence of the celestial beings, the demigods. Varloka is that of the spiritual entities, spirit entities. Bhuloka is the world of moguls, we. No. The worlds attained by the siddhas, or those who attain. So we have these three lokas, and then four upper, Maharloka, Tapolokas, and so on, like Siddhaloka, and finally Satyaloka, topmost. So the worlds attained by the siddhas, for those who attain mastery over the paranormal powers, those who accomplished in extraordinary powers, you know, they exist beyond these three divisions, and there is the upper planetary system, Maharloka, Tapaloka, and so on like that. So Brahma created the region below the earth, same way another seven planetary system down, called Patal Loka, you know, below the middle planetary system, below the earth. This is describing great details in fifth canto. So the demons and the serpent race. In this manner, the various destinations available within the worlds have been arranged in accordance with the scale of the action conducted under the influence of the three modes. So everywhere, all this 14 planetary system that we have, the material universe, material world, they are all having same, you know, life, you know, taking birth, death, old age, disease, except this lifespan is different. Like Satyaloka is extremely long lifespan. Brahma's lifespan is like 311 trillion years, 40 billion years. Our lifespan is like less than 100 years, you know, same like that, you know. So but nonetheless, they all must perish at some point there, you know. None of them eternal. Now through yoga discipline, severe austerities, and adherence to the renounced order of life, this spotless destination of Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka can be reached, higher planetary systems. But one who embraces, but even the Brahmaloka, at the end of Brahma's 100 years, they also must perish. Now, they must all go the body of Mahavishnu. So compared to that, those Vaikuntha Dhamma is eternal. So one who embraces the yoga of unalloyed devotion, however, attains Maya abode. That's what Krishna says. Now this is from Uddhava Gita. Krishna instructs to Uddhava, his devotee, his associate, personal associate. So now this is a summary of what Jiva Goswami is preview of what Jiva Goswami is going to restore in the subsequent text now. So that will form the next theme, next theme of our course. So here, basically, in this book, I found the author describes in summary form. You know, so that is actually what I reproduced that right from the book by Satyanarayana Prabhu. So Vaikuntha is not attainable by dualistic action or by result-oriented action of any kind. So any kind of material activities, material endeavors, you cannot, how high you can get, you cannot attain Vaikuntha. It's completely beyond that. That's the point here. So that we will be seeing, that is actually in text 61, description of that is seen. And then 62 and 64 is beyond the visible or beyond the manifested cosmos. So it's way beyond. In fact, there is a spiritual river, there's the boundary between material world and spiritual world, you know, Vaikuntha Lokas. There are billions and billions of planets in Vaikuntha Dhamma. The three-fourths of the cosmos is actually right in there. What we see in material world is only one-third of it, you know, one-fourth of it, you know. And residents of Vaikuntha are also infallible like the Lord. In fact, Vaikuntha Vasis just look like Lord Vaishnava. blue form and so on like that. And only a person permanently established in freedom from the modes of material nature can attain. That means one cannot be material consciousness, cannot attain Vaikuntha Dhamma. Must be completely free from the influence of the three modes of material nature. So there are no modes, no Mahamaya exists. Her jurisdiction ends right here, and it is not there in Vaikuntha Dhamma. No. If you see the, so that is, you are going to see elaboration in text 65, fifth point. It is the seat of unalloyed being, free from the modes. Again, the same thing in text 66. And text 66 continues. It is transcendental to material nature. Same point. It is eternal. It is attainable only through bhakti or unalloyed devotion, which belittles or that drops the bliss of liberation, even, you know, since that bliss is no more than the absence of dualistic action. It is by eternal full of, it is eternal full of blissachit ananda. That is what it is. So that's the end of that. So this, again I said, text 61 is a preview of the what Vaikuntha Dhamma, and the highlight of it, particularly we are going to discuss in lesson 15 and onwards, is that once attained Vaikuntha, one never falls down. No. So then obvious question arises, how to explain, how to understand the apparent fall down of Jaya and Vijaya, who are the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Dhamma. How come they succumbed to the horse by the four Kumaras, and they had to take three lifetimes in material world as demons, you know? So that is very, very important point to understand. So that we will see that, how Jiva Goswami is explaining that. So that removes that resolves that particular controversy, you know? So no one falls down. So then one obvious question that also one arises here, that how do we explain, how if because one explanation is how, what is the origin of us here in this material world? Where do we come from, you know? If no one falls down from Vaikuntha, from Lord's abode, where do we come from? Where this material world comes from, that, you know? So that is very interesting here, you know? And that we will see how that is resolved by Jiva Goswami. So I'm going to stop here. But before I stop here, I also want to, I just wonder, is Prabhu, where is he? Had a question here 2 weeks back, and if he's here, then I will discuss the answer here, you know. I guess today also he's not here. Oh yeah, he's there, Atul Prabhu. Atul Prabhu, 2 weeks back, he wrote me an email. He asked a very, again, very, very interesting question here, you know. I don't have his question right in front of me, but I'll kind of paraphrase his question. That he says there are two models. One we have in our real life here, and then one we have this in Bhagavata, these two models. How do we resolve the dilemma of that, you know? That is what, that was his point here. And that's kind of very interesting here, in the sense, I think I will also continue next week, hopefully, this particular point, because I want to discuss in much greater details about that, you know. Because it's kind of, you know, kind of a little bit perplexing also, kind of, that here we are discussing the six sandarbhas, which is much more advanced form here, and yet this question arises. So that tells me that we must really understand why, how do we resolve that thing? Because it looks like that in our day-to-day material life, we have to work busy and all this thing. And here in Bhagavata, Srimad Bhagavata, it says that we must constantly serve the Lord all the time. You know, how do we resolve that? How do we attain that? And the simplest answer I would give here, that it is not, devotees are doing the same thing as non-devotees. this billions of people in the world, Buddhism is a very, very minute, minute percentage, very, very tiny, tiny, vastly tiny form, number of people that are devotees actually. No? And that's why you must understand, we are very, very fortunate souls. Only by the Krishna's mercy, we are on bhakti platform actually. No? So devotee, whatever he is, he also has a material life. He has married grihasthas, he is also has a job, and he has to do all this thing. And yet, the difference, in fact, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that there is a difference between Grihamedi and Grihastha. Grihastha means householder life. Grihamedi is also a householder, but Grihamedi is kind of completely interested for the self enjoyment. You know, so he has a job and to enjoy himself completely. Where here devotee is doing for the pleasure of the Lord. He has a job, so he will perform the job, he will work, and he has to make a living, he has to take care of his family, but his main goal is to develop Krishna consciousness. No? So that is the fundamental difference there. You know? So Bhagavatam teaches us that if there is no real discrepancy, there is no difference, as Atul Bose pointing out, the two different models, and it seems like that they are incompatible to one each other, but in reality is not like that. That is what exactly Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out, Parikshit Maharaj, you know. The life's real goal is not to just make a living and keep on continuing day after day, life after life and so on like that. The goal is not to make money and enjoy, and then because we have to come back again. So we are, every time we have new life we come, we are going to develop, because first of all we come because of unfinished, unaccomplished desires from previous life. But what happened in our attempt to satisfy those material desires in this lifetime, Krishna has given a particular body that would facilitate fulfilling those desires. But yet at the same time, we are going to develop new desires. So that is a vicious cycle, we keep on continuing that. And the only way to get out of this vicious cycle is because we cannot kill those desires. As Prabhupada likes to point out, that we are not like dead stone, we cannot kill desires. Desires is going to rise invariably, and we cannot stop that. But the point, that the art here is that we have to transform that our desires, material desires, into spiritual desires. So we do the job, it's like I, you know, work myself, but at the same time, I do this preaching Krishna consciousness also. I practice myself and then I try to show others by my own examples, as we learn from Prabhupada's examples, you know, and our acharyas. And this is what we do that. So our main goal is not to live for this material life, but to leave just, right? So we make the best of the bad bargain. We are already here in material world, and so we have, but we utilize our endeavors, our efforts to practice Krishna consciousness. That's what is, well, that's what, how we resolve this apparent dilemma. There is no reality actually in that. Right? So that is the point that Jiva Goswami is actually reinforcing through his six sandarbhas, how to develop. So all this, you know, even though it looked like, you know, this Bhagavad Sandarbha we are just talking about, all the lofty things that they're talking about, they are not really lofty. Because in order to develop and advance Krishna consciousness, we need to really understand and internalize who Krishna really is, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, you know. Only when we develop Bhagavad Tattva Vigyan, Vitadrudevanti, Siddhanta Sarvasam Shaya, Shyanda Chasya Karmane, Drasht Evatmane Ishwale. So only when we develop, we attain this Bhagavad Tattva Vigyan, the science of Krishna, who really he is, his body, his associates, his all the paraphernalia, all his expansions, associations, so on like that, we must understand that. So that is the very purpose. Then only we can develop Krishna consciousness. So anyone, when and ultimate goal is to develop love for Krishna. The only way we can develop love for Krishna is exactly trying to understand who Krishna really is. and to try to attain His mercy, because without His mercy, we cannot even attain bhakti, and without His bhakti, we cannot attain Krishna consciousness. So they are one and the same. On one hand, without Krishna consciousness, without Krishna's mercy, we cannot get bhakti, and without bhakti, we cannot get Krishna's mercy. So both goes paraspara. They are intermingled. They cannot be separate one from other, you know. But he must have a desire. So if we have a desire, Krishna provides us that bhakti, and little bhakti brings us more attainment, more engagement in Krishna conscious activities. So we may be doing material activities, but our mind is here, or physical, our body might be engaged in other things, but slowly, but consistently, steadily, we engage our senses in practicing Krishna consciousness. That is exactly the very essence of sadhana bhakti. What is sadhana bhakti? How it is defined then? By engaging our very senses in the service of the Lord and His devotees. Now, according to scriptural injunctions, Vedic injunctions, under the guidance of a bona fide guru, that is precisely what is sadhana bhakti is all about, actually. No? So that is what a devotee does that. And then steadily going to realize and resolve this apparent dilemma, how to make sense of the two models between material life and Bhagavat life, you know, as a devotee. So we can do both at the same time, and that's precisely what our Krishna consciousness is being teaching us, how to do that through this Bhagavatam and through our Acharya's explanation of that, Prabhupada and Srila Jiva Goswami. They're exactly showing us, you know, and that is the only way to make progress, and steadily we are making progress. Sharad Prabhu's question again points out the same thing. At what point we are going to really experience that particular, that Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about, that particular rasa, the mellow, the nectar of enjoying the Krishna's sweetness and beauty, that all these things they are reading, they are studying about Krishna's transcendental body, His sweetness and so on like that, is precisely because of that. This is all entirely what it means exactly, by simply hearing and steadily hearing, regularly hearing that. Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, and both Bhagavat, both Bhagavata, and serving the Bhagavat, the devotees of the Lord, they are also called Bhagavatas, you know. So this is what Bhagavat Sandarbha is all about, you know. And then next Sandarbha that we are going to begin, hopefully Krishna permits, then we will study the other Sandarbhas. So in a very detailed way, we are going to be learning, and Krishna is going to, by His mercy, is going to allow us to understand Him, because without Krishna's mercy, we cannot understand Him. And it's impossible to Krishna know completely. Even a fraction of what we know, learn about Krishna, that itself is great achievement, you know. So that is what, we totally depend on His mercy, and His mercy comes through serving His devotees, you know. Here Srila Prabhupada is our ultimate Shiksha Guru, you know. And that is exactly what I'm endeavoring, is to share what I learned myself with my own study, I share it with you, you know. So thank you very much, Atul Prabhu, for that question, and Sarat Prabhu. So questions like that really help us and illuminate these realizations, you know. So please keep on asking that question, and I will try my best, you know. Hari Bol. Okay, let me see our question points here. Thank you so much. Usha Mataji, thank you so much. I put you back on that, and so you should be hearing all of our announcement now. Makran Prabhu, Rupam Yat Etat Avabodh Rasa Udayena Sashvan Nivrita Tamasa. So that was, yes. Yes, it's for the exact meaning of that verse. Thank you, Prabhuji. Makran Prabhu, thank you so much. Sharad Prabhu, thank you, Prabhuji, for answering the question. Understood. Atul Prabhu is, I am here. Thank you, Atul Prabhu. In fact, I was waiting for you 2 weeks back also. We had a last week, we took a break from Janmashtami celebration because of that. But previous week, I was trying to look for you, and since you were not there, I didn't answer that question. Thank you very much.
Yesterday I did this homework.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, then...